And last week I told you that in Mark chapter 16, in fact, it's easy for you to remember this scripture, okay, where it's located. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. So Mark 16, 17, 18, all right? Should be easy for you to remember. That's where it's found. And that scripture says, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he said, these signs will accompany or follow those who believe. These signs. He said, you'll cast out demons in my name, all right? And so this is something that Jesus is telling us is going to happen. You're going to cast out demons in my name. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll be able to handle snakes with safety. And if you drink anything poisonous, it won't harm you. He's telling us about all these things that will happen in our lives if we're following him. These signs will follow us. So as you're following Jesus, these signs will follow you. Okay? So today I'm going to talk about some of the signs, miracles, and wonders that Jesus did. That's what I'm talking about in this series. And today I'm going to talk about the feeding of the 20,000. Now the Bible, if you have a Bible and you look it up, there's a heading in there above the scripture in John chapter 6 that says the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, it's a subheading in the chapter. How many of you have your paper Bible with you today? All right, if you open that up, sometimes even in electronic ones they do it. And if you open that up to John chapter 6, verse 1, it should say the feeding of the 5,000 above it. It's really the feeding of the 20,000 because they estimate there are at least 20,000 people there. The reason that they call it the feeding of the 5,000 is because verse 10 says the men alone numbered 5,000. Okay? So this is going to be a pretty significant miracle that took place. So I want you to go to John chapter 6, verse 1, and follow along with me as we read this. It says this, it says, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd followed him, kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Now let me stop right there and point out to you, a huge crowd kept following him. Why? Because of the miraculous signs. They followed him because of signs. I want to point out to you, I want you this to stick with you today. When you're following Jesus, signs will follow you. And when signs follow you, people will follow you. Did you hear that? And you're going, but nobody's following. They're watching you. People are watching you. People are looking at your life. People are wondering, okay? And that's why we have to get a hold of this. We have to understand this. We have to know this. And we have to nurture this in our lives. Allow this to flourish, okay? So these people are following him because of these miraculous signs and as he healed the sick. And it says in verse 3, then Jesus climbed on a hill and he sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. And Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, and he said, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is this with such a huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled the 12 baskets of scraps that were left over by the people that had eaten them with the 5 barley loaves. First of all, before I go into point one, this last part, this last scripture in verse 12 and 13, they gathered all the leftovers so nothing is wasted. I believe that scripture is saying, eat your leftovers, all right? How many of you hate leftovers? You put them in the fridge and you don't eat them. You don't actually, how many of you love leftovers? Okay, look at you guys, all right. Yeah, you can, good crowd. Have you ever known somebody that just hates them though? Yeah, they just like, they put it in the fridge, they're like, yeah, I'll eat that tomorrow. They never do. A week later, it's still sitting there, right? So eat your leftovers, okay. I just used scripture on you. I just did that, all right? All right, point one. Here we go. Point one. We have to change the way we think and the way we see. We have to change the way we think and the way we see. I believe that's what this sign, this miracle, is telling us, okay? Jesus wasn't nervous with this need to feed the thousands. He wasn't nervous at all. How many of you know that? He wasn't nervous. Jesus was not nervous that he only had a couple loaves, five loaves and two fishes. He had no apprehension at all about this. Why? Because he sees things differently. He sees things differently. And he expected his disciples, through the experience of the miraculous, to learn to see things the way he did. He expected them, through them experiencing all these miracles, to change the way they would see things. That's why he spent the time with them. That's why he taught them. But more importantly, that's why he wanted them to be with him all the time. So that when they followed him and they saw these miracles and the impact that they had on the people and how this stuff happened out of nothing. I mean, they fed 20,000 plus people with five loaves of bread and two fish. That's what they did. 20,000 people. How did that happen? Supernatural. So Jesus wanted them to see things differently. So Jesus asked Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Philip was seeing things merely through the natural methods. He had a natural eyesight, natural sight. He was seeing things through the natural. Let me put it to you this way. Philip had an earth to heaven perspective. Okay? He had an earth to heaven perspective. What we need and what he needed then was a heaven to earth perspective. He needed to see things the opposite of what he was seeing them. Jesus asked him, "Where can we buy enough bread?" And Philip immediately went to natural methods, heard this question and thought, you know, there's no way we can get enough bread. We'd have to work for months. Immediately his thinking went to how can we make this happen in the natural realm. And what Jesus was trying to get Philip to see and do was quickly calculate and go, that's impossible, so what we need is the impossible. And where do we tap into the impossible? Heaven. So Philip had to change and shift his perspective. He had to see it from heaven to earth instead of earth to heaven. The thing is that most believers live with an earth to heaven perspective. Did you know that? Most believers, most followers to this day still live with that earth to heaven perspective. When we see something happen in our lives or an obstacle in our path or something like that, a lot of times what we do is we try to think about it through natural methods, natural reasoning. And God doesn't want us to walk with that type of thinking. He doesn't want us to live our lives here on earth with that type of a thinking. Now, I know that I've said this to you many times, and everybody, most of the time, everybody agrees with this. There's a saying that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. It was in a song by Johnny Cash and all of that, and people use that all the time. It's a terrible saying. The saying should be the other way around. You're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. Because the Bible clearly tells us to keep our sights in heaven, on the things of heaven. Earthly methods and earthly thinking is useless to us when it comes to following Jesus and allowing those signs to follow us. Those signs will not follow us if we stay with the earthly mindset. Does that make sense? Okay, we got to understand this and get this, okay? Miracles, listen to this. Miracles don't come through natural methods, so they can't come through natural thinking. They don't. Miracles come through supernatural power. Miracles come from heaven. So only through supernatural power or a supernaturally transformed mind can a miracle be conceived. If you don't have a supernaturally transformed mind, then you cannot conceive a miracle. Conceive, the definition of conceived is this, to become pregnant with. Or it means to cause to begin, or to take into one's mind, or to form a conception of, or I love this definition, to apprehend by reason or imagination. So if you want to see a miracle, then you first have to see the miracle in your mind. Oh, come on, y'all. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have to see it here first before you see it out here. If you don't see it here, you're not going to see it here. Come on, put your hand up here like this, right here. Point at your mind. If you don't see it here, then put your hand. You won't see it here. You have to have a supernaturally transformed mind to be able to see this happen in your life. Philip and the disciples couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. Immediately, they're going to natural methods. Man, there's no way that we're going to be able to feed all these people. Then they start, and we know it by, and this is why Jesus did this. We know it by the way they started thinking. Let's see, we'd have to work for months, and even then we wouldn't have enough money to buy all the food we need for this many people. How else could we do this? We could go, you know, rob a bank, and then go, you know, buy enough food. We could go, you know, take everybody to the supermarket with us. I don't know. You know what I mean? You start to think about these natural methods, and there's no way you're going to be able to make it happen. So you have to conceive the miracle in your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. It says, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The scripture is saying that, listen, you can't in your natural mind understand. With your natural eyes, you can't see it. With your natural ear, you can't hear it. And with your natural mind, you cannot conceive what God has in store for those who love him. Do you understand that? If you're trying to see this supernatural thing, this supernatural works of heaven, the supernatural power of God, if you're trying to see that with your natural eyes or hear that with your natural ears or conceive that with your natural mind, you will not do it. It can't happen. You have to have a supernaturally transformed mind in order for you to see these things. And now I'm gonna go off script a little bit here, off my notes a little bit, because I just sense this and feel this morning. When we're worshiping the Lord, we come into this place to worship the Lord. God is moving. He's moving in this place. Let me just ask you this. Right now, let's just say we see this much in the supernatural, in the spirit realm, okay? So we come together, and while we're here together, you and I see this much. Okay, based on our experience this morning, just a few minutes ago in worship, we're seeing this much. Imagine if you saw this much. What would happen to your worship? What would happen in this place? What would happen if your eyes were supernaturally opened and you saw this much as opposed to this much? God wants to do that in our lives. These disciples would not be able to accomplish what Jesus called them to do had they not learned this lesson of the supernaturally transformed mind. Had they not had their spiritual eyes opened and their spiritual ears opened and their spiritual minds transformed, these minds transformed spiritually, they would not have been able to conceive the miracles that would take place. Peter, at this moment in his life, there's no way that Peter was going to be able to walk down the streets and just his shadow being cast on people totally heal them. That wasn't happening. There's no record of that happening in Peter's life at this point. But at some point in Peter's life, something changed. Something happened supernaturally. And then he's walking down the street and just his shadow being cast on the lame, they're getting up and walking. Something changed. We see it in the Word. It had to happen. Something had to change. So why do we think we can just walk around with natural mindsets and natural methods and natural eyes and natural ears and miracles start to take place? It doesn't happen that way. We have to be transformed. We have to be changed. We have to see things differently. We have to look at things differently. It says that these Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, there's a young boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? So, this is so good. Listen closely. Andrew had part of the equation. He's like, okay, because Philip's over here going, even if we work for months, we can't do this. Andrew's going, hey, I see a kid here. He's got his lunch bag with him. A couple loads in there. You know what I mean? He's working. His mind's working, right? He's like, And I could just see Jesus going, come on. Come on. Yeah, but it's just 5 loaves and 2. Come on. You know? He's just like little children. He's bringing, you can do it. You can do it. But what good is... Jesus taught his disciples this throughout his ministry. I want to show you another scripture, Matthew 19. Throughout his ministry, he did this. Look, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Okay, this is not about that. I'm just going to show you what he's doing, though. Watch. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved, they ask. Right? So they're thinking through their natural mind, natural vision, natural hearing. They're seeing this, they're hearing this, they're going, well, who in the world can be saved? And watch, Jesus looked at them intently. Look at somebody intently right now. Look at them, just intently. Gaze into their eyes. Right? He looked at them intently, now watch, and he said this, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, all things, everything is possible. Right? I mean, here he goes. Jimmy, humanly speaking, human thinking, human sight, human hearing, it's impossible. But with God, if you'll just let God open up your mind, supernaturally transform it, see things from his perspective, not yours, see things from a higher plane, then you're going to see that this can happen. See, people read this scripture and they get tripped up on the rich people entering the kingdom of heaven. That's not really what it's about here. So it's hard. But God's saying, humanly speaking, it's hard. Supernaturally, piece of cake. Romans 8, 5 and 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about what? Say it. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Again, this is the scripture telling us it's all about where your mind is. If you're allowing your mind to stay in natural methods, natural thinking, natural eyesight, natural hearing, then you're going to, it's going to lead you, this scripture says it's going to lead you to death. But if you're supernaturally transformed, if you're transformed by supernatural power and your mind is transformed, the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you've allowed the Word of God to renew your mind and transform it, then you're going to start to see things from heaven to earth instead of earth to heaven. You're going to start hearing things that are happening in heaven. You're going to hear the sound of heaven everywhere you go, where you're walking, you're going to hear heaven. And the enemy is going to go, it's impossible, but you don't hear that. Right now you might hear it's impossible, but if you just let your ears be opened by the Almighty God, you're going to stop hearing it's impossible, and you're going to start hearing all things are possible to him who believes. So we have to change the way we think and the way we see. Number two, we need an encounter with God. We need to encounter him. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and say it with me, all your mind. All your mind. I wonder if you think like I do when you're thinking, well, how is it impossible? Why would he just say, just love the Lord your God with everything? I think there are times we can go, yeah, I really want to love him. Come on, how many of you, like your heart, you just want to love the Lord? You really do. You know it. And you're like, I just want to love him. But how many of you have, you really want to love him, but you've struggled with some things in your mind? So you're sitting here and you're going, well, love, if you love him with all your heart, then you'll love him with all your mind. I don't think so. I think there are times that we can love him with all our heart, but our minds, we're struggling in our minds. We struggle letting go of some things. We struggle believing to a level that we need to believe. So how do you love the Lord with all your mind? Here's the simple answer. You give your mind to him. You give it to him. You align your mind with his. You think the way he thinks. So how do I think the way he thinks? And how do I align my mind with him? You have to know this. You have to know this. If you know the word, if you know the word, if I'm not talking about reading the word. There's a difference between reading it and knowing it. Amen. Amen? There's a difference. I've known people that read the Bible cover to cover every year. Okay? All right? So they read the Bible, but they don't know the word. I'm not saying these people don't. There are some people that I know that read the Bible cover to cover and they know it. There are other people I know that read the Bible cover to cover every year and they don't know it. You're not going to know this by reading it over and over and over again. You're going to know this by allowing the Lord to place it in your heart, to do something in your heart with it, okay? To become intimate with the word. To know the scripture that says, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free or make you free. That particular scripture, the word know, you know this, is a Greek word. Some of you already know. Say it if you know it. Gnosko. Say gnosko. Gnosko. Say it again. Gnosko. That's the Greek word. You will know the truth. Gnosko. You will know. Gnosko. The truth. And the truth will set you free. Do you know what that word means? It means deep intimacy. In fact, that same word was used in the scriptures when the Bible says that Joseph did not know Mary. She conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says she did not know, he did not know Mary. It means he wasn't intimate with her. Okay, so it had to be Holy Spirit. That same word is used in the scripture. You will know the truth. You will become intimate with the truth. So how do you know it? How do you become intimate with it? You don't just read it. You do what it says. You put this into practice in your life. If you put this into practice, then it will change your life. It will change your life. You will know the truth. And once you start putting it into practice and you start knowing it, your mind is transformed because you've given it to the Lord. You're like, I am giving my mind to you, Lord, because I know this truth. And so when you see things, you see them differently than the natural mind would see them. And so here's the thing about this. And here, I'm off script a little bit today, but I really hear Holy Spirit with this. A lot of people don't want to go to that level because they think they're going to look crazy. They think, man, I mean, think about it. When the majority of the world is going in this direction, when you go this direction, that's tough, isn't it? When the majority, I'm going to say it this way, and I'm not, I know you guys probably think, man, he harps on the church all the time. Well, think what you want. I love the Lord and I love his body, but I'm talking about organized religion. When the majority of it is going in this direction and you're going this way, you look crazy. When Jesus said, broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction and many enter through it, but narrow the road, narrow the gate that leads to eternal life and only a few find it. He wasn't just talking about the world. He's talking about the church too. How do I know that? Because there's a scripture that he was speaking to the churches in Revelation, and when he was speaking to the church of Laodicea, you guys know the church, you've heard this before, he's speaking to Laodicea, he said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He's talking to a church. And this is one of the seven churches, and many believe this is one of the seven last day churches that represents what the church will look like in the last days. And I'm telling you that Jesus was speaking to the majority of the church because they have no passion. Why do they have no passion? Because they don't see things the way they should see things. And so they go to church, they check all the boxes off, but they don't believe that supernatural power is really for today Or if they don't see it, they're wondering, why don't I see it? Well, I don't know. Maybe God just isn't working and moving. Listen, he didn't stop performing miracles. He didn't stop pouring out his Spirit. He didn't say, you know what? We're going to do this for about 100 years, and then after 100 years, we're just going to stop doing it. God never did that. God hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. Holy Spirit hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. He wants to do the same things today that he did when Peter was walking the streets of Jerusalem. Same things. When Paul and Silas were in jail and they started worshiping the Lord and an earthquake came and shook that place and all the cells opened up, that miraculous sign, when that happened, God wants to do the same thing today that he did then. He's not sitting there going, oh, you know what, that was for then and now things are different. He wants to do that right now. He wants people to experience those things just like they did then. He wants people that follow him to go to places, to the workplace, to school, to your families, to your neighborhoods, wherever you're going. And he wants, when there's sickness in the room, he wants his people who follow him to walk in that room and change things. He doesn't want us to go in the room and go, well, maybe God will heal him and maybe he won't. Maybe he wants to and maybe he doesn't. He wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his will is that you be healed. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let me just go back and say that again. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may, prove. Why does he want your mind transformed? So that you can prove what is his good and acceptable and perfect will. He wants our minds transformed so that we can prove his will. Prove it. Why? How? By signs. Signs, the ones that Jesus said would accompany us. Now, this is going to get a little uncomfortable just for a second. So grab somebody's hand next to you and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. But when was the last time you laid hands on somebody and cast out a demon? Give it a try. I appreciate that answer because that's probably what most people are thinking, I don't know if I want to give that a try or not, but when was the last time you laid hands on the sick and they recovered? When was the last time that you or I walked into a room and you felt the demonic presence of the enemy there and you didn't just keep going or try to ignore it, but you immediately shifted the atmosphere by speaking the name of Jesus, by taking authority over those demonic spirits and commanding them to be silent and leave. You understand you have the authority and you have the power to do this. Amen? You have the authority and the power to do this. And it's not a parlor trick. It's our God-given right. It's our, if you will, our heavenly constitutional right to do this. Right? It's no different than a thief or a robber coming into your home. You have the right and the authority to kick them out of your house. Amen? By force, if necessary. Amen? And do you think any of you, for a moment, would go, oh no, they're trying to get in. Let me just go open the door and make it easier on them. Or they step inside your door, you think you're just going to go, hey, come on and have a cup of tea with me. They're there to rob. No, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure they don't enter your home. And if they get in your home, you're going to do everything in your power to kick them out of your home. Amen? You have the same authority to do that with demonic spirits. Now, we have to be wise in the way we do it. And trust the Lord and let Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. I mean, But even so, even if you do everything the way the Lord tells you to do it, the world is going to look at you and go, You know, some people are going to be drawn and attracted and go, wow. But there are going to be others who are going to mock you. Actually, I'm going to tell you this. More people will mock you that are in the church than will mock you from the world. And this, what I'm telling you to do, what I'm telling you we have the power to do, it doesn't come through discipline. It doesn't come through, you know, buckling down, trying real hard. It comes through encountering God. When you encounter him through his word, this is where this comes from. And when you encounter God, it gives you the opportunity to change the way you see, the way you think, the way you hear. The third thing you need to know is this. The third thing is we must deny the enemy a place. We have to deny the enemy a place of influence in our lives and in our thinking. The enemy wants to keep us living and thinking from an earthly perspective, but God wants us to live and think from a heavenly perspective. Bill Johnson wrote a book called Experience the Impossible, and this is what he said. He said, it's a wonderful thing to see God use natural talents and resources to accomplish his purposes. Surrendering these areas of our lives to his use is both vital and refreshing, but it's tragic. Listen, it's tragic when the high point of a believer's life is accomplished, is accomplishing something that is humanly possible. So what Bill Johnson is saying here, he's saying it's great to use the, you know, talents and everything that we have for the Lord. That's wonderful. But it's tragic when we use those talents and gifts to accomplish something that is humanly possible. How many of you know if it's humanly possible to accomplish it, then it's not supernatural? It's not a miracle. And we do a lot of things that are humanly possible, right? Like, let me give you an example. The festival that we put on, the Free Fall Festival we put on Friday night, that was amazing, that festival. It was humanly possible to set up those games and those tents and the bales of hay. It was humanly possible to give the donations that we gave and all of that. It was humanly possible to do a lot of the things that we did there, right? Okay? To an extent. Don't get tripped up. I understand there comes a place where, man, we cross over to the supernatural because we don't have the strength to keep doing these things, you know, naturally for the Lord. But what I'm saying is this. Those things are the humanly possible things. There are a lot of festivals and fairs and things like that that are put on that aren't for Jesus. Okay? So it's humanly possible. But there comes a point, right? We did all the humanly possible things and used the gifts and talents we have for accomplishing some of these things. But then we have to rely on the supernatural power, the supernatural power of God, that when those people come into this festival, they experience something and feel something and are a part of something that's different. It's not just a humanly possible festival. It's a supernatural power festival. And when they come in, their lives, their hearts are changed. They don't know why all of a sudden they feel the need to break down and cry. They don't know why they feel this overwhelming joy erupting in them when they've been depressed for years. They don't know why all of a sudden they feel this energy and power like they've never experienced before. But we know why they're experiencing that. Because we didn't just set up those games and those tents and donate that candy and all those things and just give it in a human way. We gave it praying, Lord, do something in these people's lives when they step onto this property. Change them from the inside out. Lord, only you can do this work. Now use us to do it. And that you have to, so everything you do has to be done with that transformed mind. If your mind's been given to the Lord, then when we're preparing for something like this as a church, you're not just preparing with a human mind. Well, I can get a bag of candy and I can get this in the natural mind. You're not just preparing. You're not just doing the work. You're doing it with supernatural mind. Something's different. You have a whole nother level of energy about you because you're doing it through a supernaturally transformed mind and not a natural mind. See, the natural mind gets tired. If you're doing it with a natural mind, you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. That was tough. Or you might be like, oh, yeah, that was great and everything. But you're like, I mean, if anybody as tired as I am this weekend, man, that was a long weekend for me. I'm tired. Whew. But I have more spiritual energy. It's okay to say that. Some of y'all looking at me like, oh, man, it's okay to say that. I have more supernatural power I feel flowing through my veins right now. So you have to see things differently. You have to see them supernaturally. I want to show you a scripture, and then I'm closing this thing out. And I'm leading up to something that you just need to hear, something powerful that happened last Sunday as I left this place. But 2 Corinthians 5:13, put that up there. It says this. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:13. Do you have that one? Maybe I didn't give it to you. This is what it says. It says, if we are out of our mind, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. I love this scripture. Because listen, once you get to that place where you cross over from the natural mind to the supernatural mind, you're going to start doing things and saying things. I know there are people saying, Bill's crazy. He is crazy. That guy is out of his mind. Good. I'm out of my mind for the Lord. I'm out of my not mind for God. You may think I'm crazy, but I'm crazy for him. You may think, well, how can he just keep on going and keep believing and keep having this strength and this energy? I have that strength and energy because of him, so I'll have it for him. If we are out of our mind, as some say we are, it's for God. How many of you just want to be out of your mind for God? You just want to be out of your mind. Okay, some of you are like, I don't know, maybe. People are, Dave, can I just use you? It's safe. I'm going to pick on Dave for a minute. Dave and I have had a lot of conversations over the last couple years about his job. In the job that he has, he travels all over, not just the state, but the United States, and he consults and speaks and does all these things. And in the field that he's in, can I say the field? Yeah, he's in public education. And in the field that he's in, he's fighting some pretty strong supernatural battles against some pretty powerful demons. And as he's doing this and he's traveling, there's a battle going on where he's taking a stand for the truth of God's word. Okay? And as he's taking a stand for the truth of God's word, people are coming against him. The enemy's coming against him through people. Let's put it that way, okay? The enemy's coming against him. And so there are a lot of people out there probably saying he's out of his mind. He's crazy. What's wrong with this nut job? You know? Here's the crazy thing about it that I just think is amazing. But God just keeps on blessing him. He's got more work than he can handle. God. All right, there you go. Right there. God just keeps on blessing him. God just keeps on using him. Guys, that's all of us. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what field you're in. I'm looking around this room right now, and I know most of you, I know a lot of you, and what you do for a living, or what you may be retired. It doesn't mean that you don't still come up against this kind of thing. Don't think that you're doing something wrong or you're in the wrong place because of those things are happening in your life. You need to see that you're actually in the right place. You're on the right track. If people are saying you're crazy for the Lord, crazy for Jesus, you should just throw your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus, that some say I'm out of my mind. So think about this. All right, Wally, let me preach this sermon. Wally, let me preach this. You sit down and let me preach this. You can preach your own sermon out there, all right? All right. I want to say this. I love that he's fired up right now. Come on, I love that he's fired up. For someone who is thinking with the natural mind, let me just show this to you. It's practical. Please, okay, let me just stop. Because I just feel like some people are going to have the opportunity to get offended right now. And I just want to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would remove all offense. And I pray, Father, that they would see your heart, that we would see your heart right here, right now, in this moment, in Jesus' name. For someone who is thinking with the natural mind, listen to this, everybody. It's practical to train a seeing eye dog to help the blind. But if you're thinking with a supernatural mind, practical is healing the blind. Did you catch that? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with seeing eye dogs. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with helps and things like that. You guys know Gabrielle's story and what she's been through in the 12 surgeries over the last 6-7 years with her eyes, and she's legally blind. But you see, that's what they say. That's what the world says, but that's not what we receive or believe. Amen? So even though we do things to help her, if you guys see Gabrielle coming up here to host like she does, and we walk her out here, that's just because we don't want her falling off the stage, all right? We just don't think that would be, you know, or else we just let her go. But so we're doing practical things to help her, you know, while she's where she's at. But we don't receive that. We don't go, okay, this is the rest of her life. What we say, what the supernatural mind says, no, enemy, you can't have her eyes the rest of her life. These belong to Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, these eyes must be healed. Amen. The natural mind says, where can we buy enough food to feed these people? But the supernatural mind says, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's enough. That's more than enough. 1 Corinthians 2:15 and 16 says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Watch this. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. The only way we're going to be able to do this, y'all, is if we have the mind of Christ. These signs will follow those who believe. So I'm going to skip down and tell you something that happened to me on the way home. I'm going to end this here. Last week, I finished the message and got done with the service. And at the end of the service, something happened. But I'm going to tell you about that in a minute if you weren't here. And when service was over, I got done and did all that I normally do on a Sunday and greeted everyone and talked and all that and fellowshiped. And then I got in my car and I was headed home. And it was just a few minutes before 1 o'clock. And so, you know, the good old Detroit Lions, I see a couple fans out here right now, good old Detroit Lions were about to play the football game, so I turned on the radio to the pregame. It's about 5 minutes before the game, and I got the radio on, and I'm driving home, and thank you, Lord, for today and for the service, and it was so good, and thank you for all the lives you touched. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for all that. And I'm just thanking the Lord. And as I'm got this radio station on and I'm listening to it, all of a sudden that station went out. Like just completely cut right out. It was a clear signal, and then boom, cut out right out. And 2 stations simultaneously came in together. Both playing something obviously different. At the same time, they came in just as clear as the other one. I heard 2 radio stations. At the exact same time, no static, just as clear as can be. And here's what I heard. On 1 station was Dr. Tony Evans. Anybody heard of Dr. Tony Evans? Okay. On 1 station was Dr. Tony Evans. And Tony Evans has a new book out called Kingdom Authority. I actually have the book at home, haven't even read it yet. And he's got a book called Kingdom Authority, and he's teaching about Kingdom Authority. And at the very same time, a very famous song from John Mayer came on at the same time. So Tony Evans is speaking and John Mayer is singing. It's almost like Rick playing right now while I'm talking to you, and you hear the piano and you hear me speaking. At the same time, I heard both. Now watch. Tony Evans was talking about kingdom authority. And this is something that he was saying, and I actually pulled it out of his book because I heard what he was saying. He says, kingdom authority gives believers both individually and collectively as a church the authority and the authorized right to exercise kingdom authority in order to bind and loose, forbid and permit, according to Matthew chapter 16. Do you have this quote up there? You don't have this, do you? He says, when we are in spiritual agreement with God, that's what happens. He said, the goal of kingdom authority is to obtain divine resources and support from the invisible realm, heaven, and bring that to the visible realm, earth. It is time for believers to exercise our kingdom constitutional right to act as heaven's representatives on earth. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us this kingdom. And this is what he's saying. And man, I'm getting fired up. I'm hearing him speak, and then I'm hearing this song, this famous song by John Mayer. Now listen to the lyrics of this song. Most of you know it. You'll know the chorus when I get to it, but the verse says, me and all my friends were all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep on waiting, waiting, waiting for the world to change. We keep on waiting, waiting. Anybody know the song? Waiting for the world to change. Listen to these lyrics. This is important. It's hard to be persistent when we're all standing at a distance. So we keep on waiting, waiting for the world to change. Man, that wrecked me. I just heard the Lord so clearly. I believe that was divine, supernatural intervention. I believe God did that. I've never had that happen in my life. I'm not making this up. I called Kim immediately when it was over because I wanted to tell her. I wanted to write some things down because I was driving. You can't just write things down when you're driving anymore. I used to, but no, I'm just kidding. Not even supposed to hold a phone anymore. And man, it just messed with me in a good way. And I was like, thank you, Lord, because I heard Tony Evans speaking about the kingdom authority we have. And at the same time, I'm hearing this song, but we're just waiting, waiting for the world to change. And when it got to that line, it's hard to make a difference when we're standing at a distance. I thought about the church. I thought about this. I thought about asking you this today. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? It's hard to make a difference in this world if we're going to stand at a